The following program, Normal Show Live, is intended for responsible adults only. We advocate for the repeal of marijuana prohibition for adults. We discuss the science, culture, and controversy about America's marijuana laws. We do not advocate or encourage any illegal activity and advise all listeners to learn their state and federal marijuana laws by visiting normal.org, N-O-R-M-L.org. Opinions and claims made by guests and advertisers of Normal Show Live are their own and do not necessarily reflect the philosophy and policies of Normal. Listener discretion is advised.
You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it,
and it goes down smooth.
Spanning the continent to bring you the truth about cannabis and marijuana law reform.
I smoke pot and I like it a lot.
From the promise of legalization.
And I think we need to rethink and decriminalize our marijuana laws.
To the agony of prohibition.
Well, one major responsibility is to encourage people to use less drugs.
The National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws presents... Normal Show Live, Marijuana Nation. Now, here's your host, Normal's Outreach Coordinator, Radical Russ Belville.
Good afternoon, tokers and tokettes. It is Tuesday, January 25th, 2011, and it's got to be 420 somewhere in the world. Thanks for joining us on this next 60 minutes, a journey into marijuana and cannabis and hemp and everything you ever wanted to know about nature's most perfect plant for human beings. We are the Normal Daily Audio Stash in this first hour, podcast on iTunes and available as a download from our blog, stash.normal.org, followed by another 60 minutes of Toker Talk Radio live chat right here on Stick'Em. Let's get it started by introducing our good friend, the maestro, Ganja John.
Normal.arg, Russ.
Normal.arg.
That's the pirate one.
There'd be pirates here, arg. How you doing, John?
I'm doing great. How are you doing?
Good. We got our shipment in, all the stuff that we went to, and we went to KushCon in Denver, and we got all the stuff shipped back here. Let me go to John Cam there. You can see the illusion glass. We got the illusion glass that's been shipped in, so, and it's got the green res block. Is that what it is?
Yeah, res block.
Res block, they call it. Yeah. And then we've got the jar. I got a nice new jar from the Got Smoke jar, which is cool. And we got, let's see here, the signed Gravity Vortex, signed by Aaron Lewis of Stained and Asher Roth, dedicated to both Normal Show Live and John Doe Radio. And that'll probably be a giveaway from us one of these days. So, also, sorts of great stuff. We'll talk about more of this an hour or two, and we'll kind of do some more show and tell. And let's get to our other co-host here on the show, the lovely and talented Cannabis Carrie.
Hello. That's some fun stuff.
We got fun stuff. We got a board game called Reefer City. We got to test that out. We'll show that a little later. And I finally got Ed Rosenthal's autograph on his new big grow book. So we got Ed Rosenthal, Keith Stropp, and Tommy Chong. Keith wrote the foreword, and Tommy wrote the introduction. And then, of course, Ed wrote the book. So we got all three signatures. That's going to be an auction item. It's going to be wonderful here for Normal Show Live. So
did we ever have that $100 auctioneer pay up?
We did. That was actually one of the guys who's involved in our one of our new Normal chapters. So that's kind of cool. He got involved really well. We got a great show coming up for today. Coming up at half past the hour, we're going to go out to Oklahoma. Yes, Oklahoma, and speak to Garrett Overstreet from Tulsa Normal on a medical marijuana bill in the Oklahoma legislature. What did you say yesterday, Carrie, about getting your snow chains ready for the drive to hell?
Medical. I'm going to be going to hell this weekend. You might want to bring your snow chains.
No doubt. Oklahoma. We're glad to hear that. So we'll talk to Garrett at half past the hour. At 45 past, we got a radical rant. You may have heard this story about the medical soda pot, the new sodas that are medical marijuana infused. I got some things to say about that. Today is Electric Tuesday, so we'll be joined by Cannabis Cure UK. He'll be bringing us music from Bang called Indican. But before all that, we start with the hemp headlines and Cannabis Carrie. What's in the news today?
Well, today we go to Nevada, where officers are making a plea to the parole board. Also, Montel Williams is in the news again concerning marijuana, and he didn't have to get arrested this time. A new bill in the Washington state legislature that's coming through the pike. And also, a student entrepreneur from North Carolina. All that and more coming up on Hemp Headlines.
All right. Well, that sounds like a good show. Please stay tuned and support our sponsors here at Normal Show Live. We want to be the voice of the marijuana nation, and we hope we're getting that word out to you. Also, don't forget, you can still log on to youtube.com/askobama and vote for marijuana-related questions, drug war questions. Get them to the top. Right back after this.
You're listening to Normal Show Live, the voice of the marijuana nation.
In today's busy world, we're inundated by advertising for all types of pharmaceuticals that come with a laundry list of potential side effects. Shouldn't you have better medical choices? Natural alternatives to pills pushed by Big Pharma? At Alternative Medical Choices, you could choose natural, safe, and effective alternative therapies that are right for your budget without nasty side effects. Cannabis, or marijuana, has been a legal medicine in the Pacific Northwest since 1998. Our doctors will help determine your qualifications for a medical marijuana recommendation in Oregon, no matter where you live. Our massage therapist will ease your aches and stress with soothing hemp seed oil or cannabis-infused massage salves. We also offer acupuncture, Reiki, and other alternative health therapies. Call Alternative Medical Choices in Portland, Oregon at 503-288-5579 or visit our website at www.altmedchoices.com. We specialize in out-of-state recommendations. That's www.altmedchoices.com or call 503-288-5579.
And now, a message from former President George W. Bush to remind the American people of our responsibility in our nation's war on American citizens, non-pharmaceutical, non-alcoholic, tobacco-free drugs.
One major responsibility is to encourage people to use less drugs.
That's right, America, use less drugs. Put down the Prozac, the Vioxx, and the Levitra, and turn to the herb. Use less drugs. Our national policy is no longer just say no, it's now just slow down.
You get me too high. I overanalyze. If you've ever been too high, then you can sympathize. You get me too high. And I start to fly. If I said some silly thing, then that's the reason why.
Medical marijuana, industrial hemp, consumer cannabis. It's time for this week's Normal News with Cannabis Carry.
State parole and probation officers in Nevada would like to have better control of parolees who have medical marijuana cards in their state. A proposal that the Board of Parole Commissioners is considering would require parolees in Nevada to get permission from them before being granted a medical marijuana card. According to the Nevada Appeal of Carson City, parole cannot be revoked for using medical marijuana. But parole and probation officer Lieutenant Tom Eli told the board last Thursday that he doesn't want to limit access parolees with HIV, cancer, or diseases such as glaucoma. He would like to restrict those parolees who use medical marijuana for more minor problems, as he's seen, such as flat feet or anxiety. He says that many parolees are using medical marijuana to get around the rules, and he is looking for a way to deny those that are just looking for an excuse to get high. Lieutenant Eli claims that if some parolees' drug use cannot be prevented, it makes recidivism more likely, especially for sex offenders. He says that those that are abusing medical marijuana make it impossible to manage their rehabilitation. Chairman Connie Bisbee spoke up, though, and said that the state law likely prevents the board or a parole officer from requiring permission. But they are gearing up for a February 7th meeting with state legislatures where the board may ask for the power to regulate medical marijuana use among parolees. But until that is granted, there isn't much that can be done. Commissioner Tony Cota said the board doesn't have the medical expertise to make a decision about whether somebody should qualify. During the upcoming legislative session in Nevada, Democratic Assemblyman Paul Aisley of Las Vegas is is planning to introduce a bill to allow people to smoke marijuana without a state-issued card. But for now, if you qualify for a medical marijuana card and you are on parole, they can make a condition that you can't smoke marijuana, but they cannot legally enforce it, according to Chairman Bisbee. The officers that were trying to change that will have to change the law first.
Wow. Yet again, example number 3,246 in the insane dichotomy between some people who are criminals and some people who are patients. And in this case, you have people who were criminals who are now patients, and the lines get all blurred. Again, that statement that was made in there about the parole board not having the medical expertise to make this decision. Yeah, that's exactly why we have medical marijuana. So this is between doctors and patients. You know, doctors go to school and they read a lot of books about this stuff. Last I checked, to become a parole officer or probation officer, there wasn't a whole lot of medical school classes you had to take. Just replay this whole story in your mind. Go back in the replay when it plays. Replay this whole story, and wherever you hear the word medical marijuana, replace it with Wellbutrin. Imagine if this would even be a story. We were talking about whether or not parolees should be allowed to use Wellbutrin or Xanax or Vicodin or oxycodone. No, none of these other medications would we ever be having this discussion. Only medical marijuana, because once again, medical marijuana is the redheaded stepchild. It's always going to be treated as the second class medication because they're still illegal marijuana. Now, this idea that parolees are just using it as an excuse to get high. You know, some of these conditions, anxiety, that is actually something that can be alleviated through medical marijuana. Flat feet? Well, if it's causing you chronic pain, believe me, I've had operations on both of my feet, not for exactly the opposite. I have high arches. But still, foot pain is not anything to be laughing at, folks. There's no reason that these parolees should be restricted on this. And then that other statement about if we don't control this, their recidivism will be more likely? Really? You mean that a medical marijuana patient who's then denied the ability to use that legally and then goes out on the streets to acquire their marijuana illegally isn't engaged in recidivism? Come on now, Nevada. You can do better than this.
Former talk show host Montel Williams, who was arrested in an airport last month for having an unused marijuana pipe in his baggage, took some time this week to urge state lawmakers to legalize medical marijuana in Maryland. He told legislators that medical marijuana has a role in helping those with painful ailments such as his own. Montel Williams suffers from multiple sclerosis that he was diagnosed with in 1990. Williams spoke at a news conference on Monday, standing beside lawmakers who support legalized medical marijuana. He told the press that marijuana does not work for everyone, but that it has given him his life back. Williams did field some questions from the press after the conference. When asked by an Associated Press reporter how he obtained his marijuana for personal use, he declined to comment. The Maryland State Senate passed a bill last year to allow physician-approved use of marijuana, but it didn't pass in the House. State lawmakers say they will try the measure again this year.
Well, let's hope that Montel's presence can help a little bit here. You know, Maryland's had a affirmative defense for medical marijuana for some time. This affirmative defense means, of course, that they bust everybody for marijuana. Let's bust them all and let the courts sort them out, you know, to make a play on that old military saying. Bust them all, let the courts sort them out. So if you're busted, if you're, you know, got multiple sclerosis like Montel Williams, and you're busted in Maryland, you got to put up your bail. You get booked. You got to put up bail. You got to go to an arraignment. Got to go to a hearing. Got to hire a lawyer. Got to go to trial. And then you can say to the judge, here, I here's my diagnosis for multiple sclerosis. He says, oh, there you go. Affirmative defense, $100 fine. But by the time you've gotten that far, you've taken time off work, you've hired lawyers, it's an expensive mess. The punishment isn't the arrest in this case. The punishment is having to go through the system. It's about time that Maryland finally went to that extra step of protecting patients with a working medical marijuana law.
A bill to legalize marijuana was introduced in Washington State this morning by State Representative Mary Lou Dickerson, a Democrat from Seattle. She is proposing that the state regulate marijuana similar to alcohol. House Bill 1550 proposes that marijuana should be sold through the already established state liquor stores to adults over the age of 21. The bill includes guidelines for the Liquor Control Board to issue licenses to commercial growers. This isn't the first time that Representative Dickerson has proposed legalization. She sponsored a similar bill in the previous legislative session, but it was voted down by the House Public Safety and Emergency Preparedness Committee. Dickerson said in a statement this morning that input from law enforcement, medical marijuana patients, and others helped to improve the previous bill. She says the new bill includes provisions for industrial hemp and allows the cultivation of cannabis for personal use, similar to home brewing winemaking. She estimated that if passed, the measure could raise almost $400 million in 2 years through licensing fees and sales. The money raised would be divided up with 77% going to healthcare and 20% going to substance abuse treatment. The remaining monies would go back into the program to help pay for the additional regulation. Dickerson's name is on the legislation along with 11 other representatives. All 12 co-sponsors of the bill are Democrats.
Hmm. Well, I can tell you one thing, Ganja John. Vancouver is going to be a hell of a lot more exciting.
Yeah.
This is for folks, you know, there's only 19 states that have state control over over liquor stores and fewer that where the state itself actually runs them. I'm from one of them. I'm from Idaho. We grew up with state-run liquor stores, and Washington has a similar thing. So folks in California where you can get liquor right there in the grocery store, this might be a little weird to you. But when it comes to promoting a way of distributing marijuana to adults, this appeals to a whole lot of people. I mean, here in like in Idaho or in Washington, you have a store run by the state where people can walk in and buy a flammable liquid meant for human consumption. Okay? I mean, you could go in there and grab some of those higher proof whiskeys and set them on fire, and they're meant to be consumed. And yet the bud that we can set on fire and consume, why not sell it in the same place? Or sell it someplace like that where it's adults only and it's state controlled. That is one possible solution to look at, and I'm glad that Representative Dickerson is taking this step.
Scooping Stoner Stories.
As a public service, Normal reminds you that smoking marijuana will not make one stupid. However, some stupid people do smoke marijuana. Don't be one of those stoners that make the rest of us look bad. Learn your lesson from today's
Stupid Stoner Story.
This could be called Stupid Student Stories. A student from North Carolina State University told law enforcement officials that he's made $250,000 in the past year selling marijuana to his fellow students. Robert Harrell Bass made the confession after being stopped by an Oklahoma State trooper who found 26 pounds of marijuana in the rented minivan that he was driving, according to the search warrant that was made public on Monday. Bass was a junior at NCSU and was enrolled in the fall, but did not enroll for the current semester, according to a university spokesman. When Bass was arrested on January 8th after a traffic stop, he told the Oklahoma trooper that he had picked up the marijuana from someone in Humboldt, California, after wiring that same person $70,000. He and a friend flew out to California, picked up the marijuana, then the friend flew back while Bass rented a van to drive the long way home. When the state trooper told him that he would be charged with trafficking and his bail would be set at $25,000, he replied that he had that amount of cash on hand at his house in Raleigh. He called his roommate to verify the cash on hand and asked him to remove it from a safe at the home. The court records show that about the time he told officers he made $250,000 selling marijuana to students in the last 12 months. The state trooper who was making the arrest then alerted the Raleigh police, who searched Bass's home and found $26,123 in cash. Only 60 grams of marijuana, but along with bank books, notebooks, and a computer. Now, Raleigh police are awaiting his extradition from Oklahoma to answer even more charges in North Carolina.
What an idiot.
Oh, my goodness. I think the student from NCSU needs a little STFU. You know what I'm saying? bragging about making $250,000 a year selling weed. And if you're going to get weed in Humboldt, why the hell are you driving a route that takes you through Oklahoma?
Wow.
Man, there's some other ways you can get from North Carolina to Humboldt and back without going through Oklahoma. My God. And 26 pounds of pot. All right. Made $250,000. You had $26,000 cash laying around. And I hope that he saved some of this to hire an excellent attorney from the Normal Legal Committee.
Yeah.
Because he's going to need one. And with what he said already, I don't know, you know, what kind of case we're going to have for this guy. But just remember, STFU.
Yeah. When you see the police and you got tons of marijuana, STFU.
Didn't we have a recording of somebody who gotten a stop.
Yes, and he did a very good job of shutting up.
We're gonna try and get the rights to that and play that sometime, yeah, so that you can get an idea. You know, we always counsel people, never consent to a search, you know, never speak to a police officer other than to identify yourself and, you know, yes sir, no sir, you know, respond to commands, but, you know, don't be making their jobs any easier, yeah, than they need to be. Excellent videos that you can watch, mm-hmm, to learn how to do that is Busted, the Citizen's Guide to Police Encounters. You can find that at flexyourrights.org. And they've got another new one. It's like the 10 things to, I can't remember the exact name, 10 things to say or 10 things to do.
Yeah, Leap has them on their website.
Police.
Too. Yeah.
Leap will probably have it at their website too. Check out copsaylegalizeddrugs.com or leap.cc for more information on how to protect yourself in police encounters.
Well, I think we smoked the Oklahoma idiot.
Yeah. You know, sometimes I think, too, that it's not a matter of being stupid. Sometimes people are just ignorant.
Yeah.
Ignorance can be cured. We'll do a little bit of that when we come back.
It's 20 after the hour, and we have to take a short break, if you know what I mean. Please support these sponsors who support Normal Show Live.
Oh, have you ever met that funny reefer man? A reefer man. Have you ever met that funny reefer man, reefer man? If he said he swam to China, he would sell you South Carolina. Then you know you're talking to that reefer man.
Normal Show Live reminds you to never consent to a search. If you're holding and you consent, in most states you will be arrested immediately and you will go to jail. If you don't consent to a search, police may try to intimidate you by threatening to bring in drug-sniffing dogs, or try to fool you by saying things will go easier if you consent. Yeah, easier for them, sure. Stand your ground, refuse the search, and ask the officer if you're free to go. If they still detain you and eventually find your contraband, you'll be no more busted than if you had allowed the search. But by refusing the search, your attorney has a chance to win your acquittal before a judge. If you consent to the search, your attorney's hands are tied. You can find a list of Normal Legal Committee attorneys specializing in marijuana cases by visiting the Find a Lawyer link at normal.org.
Ever wonder how often to change your bong water? The most effective method for making pot brownies? The best destinations for a ganja getaway? How to hide herb in your car? Whether to grow your own? How precisely to legalize it? Or how something as wonderful as marijuana ever got to be illegal in the first place? Finally, you can find all these answers and much more in the official High Times Pot Smokers Handbook, featuring 420 things to do when you're stoned. Since 1974, High Times Magazine has covered marijuana in all its aspects and wonders, from cultivation to legalization to the herb's enduring and exalted place in popular culture. Packed with inside information, the official High Times Pot Smokers Handbook wove all of this collective wisdom together into a single indispensable ganja guide, including an entertaining look at marijuana's history, profiles of herb-friendly travel destinations and festivals, favorite potluck recipes from the High Times staff, smoking skills, advocacy and activism, essential marijuana movies and songs, profiles of famous cannabis strains, comprehensive growing information, celebrity endorsements, and much more. This is truly, finally, the ultimate guide to green living.
It's time for your Daily Toker Tunes, the best in 420-friendly music from all genres that uplifts, entertains, and informs the public. Our PodSafe music is donated by freedom-loving musicians who support our goal of ending adult marijuana prohibition. Today we bring you Tunes for Electric Tuesday, our segment featuring the best of modern electronic music in the genres of dance, new age, house, and electronica, brought to you by Greg in Surrey, Sussex, England, and Cannabis Cure UK. If you'd like to submit your song to be played on Normal Show Live, send it to us at stash@normal.org. Now, here's some great independent marijuana music for today's Daily Toker Tunes.
Cannabis has helped me become a more diverse individual, so this week I'd like to share with you a track that goes by the name of Bang, and the artist is Indican. This Indian-themed arrangement induces a mellow vibe that's either going to leave you feeling completely chilled out, or really, really weird. If the case turns out to be the latter, maybe you just haven't smoked enough. I don't have any Bang, but I do have some Moroccan hash, and that's good enough for me, so just wait 1 second. ready to just sit back and relax now. Enjoy your Electric Tuesday tune here at live.normal.org. This is The Cannabis Cure. Enjoy. Peace out.
You want a copy of that song for your iPod? Check out the Daily Toker Tunes at the Stash blog by surfing to stash.normal.org and choosing Media and then Toker Tunes from the main menu.
Starfish Designs, makers of the original Gandalf.
I'm Radical Russ, and when I want to relax, I always have my 17-inch long original Gandalf from Starfish Designs nearby. The hand-blown borosilicate glass is strong and easy to clean, and the design is sleek and sophisticated. Starfish Designs are available from Bend, Oregon at a glass retailer near you. For locations, call 541-788-GLASS. That's 541-788-4527.
We're joined
joined also by Barry McCaffrey, General Barry McCaffrey, I should say, retired general, military analyst at NBC, and most importantly for this conversation, former National Drug Policy Director, very familiar with this conversation.
Normal Show Live, where the truth about marijuana gets more than a minute to speak.
General, I'm going to begin with you.
Everybody's got a habit, some good, some bad, to reach the comfort zone. Some of people have all kinds of people around, some people can't hang alone.
Hi, I'm Keith Straub, the founder of Normal. In all the years since 1970 that I've been fighting marijuana prohibition, I've learned that drug warriors love to confuse the public with statistics. Lately, they've claimed that there are more teens enrolled in drug treatment for marijuana than ever before. It's a statement that, while true, is intentionally misleading. What they don't tell you is that marijuana arrests have skyrocketed to over 800,000 arrests per year. They also don't tell you that we've gone from a few dozen drug courts in the 1990s to over 2,500 drug courts today. The kicker is that those drug courts sentence teens routinely to drug treatment for marijuana, whether they need drug treatment or not. So they arrest more people for pot, require them to enter drug treatment, then claim the higher treatment numbers justify more pot arrests. It's an absurd proposition, but no more absurd than banning a plant. Learn the facts about pot. Visit norml.org today.
Normal stands for reforming America's prohibitionist marijuana laws, and that cannot happen without directly engaging our government and elected officials. Local Normal chapters and other affiliated activists relentlessly lobby our lawmakers for a change we can believe in and report on their strategies and progress in this segment we call Our Government at Work.
I love getting to January because all the legislatures get into session, and that means the hopes of marijuana reformers are raised as we have more chances to spread the message of reform throughout this country. Some places are tougher than others, and whenever you get a story coming out of places that are very conservative and resistant to marijuana law reform, it's always a doubly bright day. And today we're joined by Garrett Overstreet from Tulsa, Oklahoma, at Tulsa Normal. Garrett, welcome to the show.
Hey, how's it going, Russ?
Oh, it's going excellent, and I just can't wait to talk about this because we've got marijuana law reform happening in Oklahoma, where a medical marijuana patient, Will Foster, was once sentenced to 93 years for possession of just a few plants to treat his medical condition. Tell us about this Medical Marijuana Act that's proposed in Oklahoma.
Well, it's SB 573, and it was introduced by Constance Johnson. And she's been a longtime supporter of prison reform, or at least deferring nonviolent offenders. And I think she's introduced something in regards to the medical side before. However, this is just kind of, I guess, the first draft, and it goes on to discuss, you know, doctors' rights and patients' rights and caregivers' rights, et cetera.
Okay, so is this going to be like one of the standard boilerplate type medical bills where we have a plant limit, a possession limit, a registry? Give us some of the particulars.
Sure. Right now, actually, there's no limits on the weight. There's no limits on the numbers yet. I imagine that's something that they're going to have to amend and draft up. But it's currently just a short two-page text that's kind of describing just defining everything. So right now they currently don't have anything. We're waiting to hear back from them to find out what committee is going to be hearing this, and we've got to ensure they actually receive the proper hearing. So me and Norma from Oklahoma Normal, the state chapter, is going to be visiting Constance hopefully within the next week or two there in the Capitol.
Okay, and how has this sponsor been doing a lot of bills in the past, and has there been success in the past? Have we made it through any committees, or where are we starting from here in Oklahoma?
Well, so I believe that she introduced similar bills back in the day, though, and she also, like, say, introduced something in 2009 in order to hopefully repeat or at least defer people from into rehab centers and nonviolent drug offenders rather than sending them to prison. So she's definitely supportive of this type of mentality here. And it's definitely important, especially here in the middle of, you know, in the United States, where there's very, very little movement at all. to have these type of, you know, rights and various representatives. So, yeah, I believe, you know, I'd say she's done things before, and I'm not entirely certain, if this is going to receive a proper hearing. We just got to make sure that we get everyone on the phones and get everyone to call their legislatures and make sure, you know, that it actually passes through.
Right, right. And we've got information for that up on our blog at stash.normal.org. We've got the action alert. You can click the links there. It takes you right to Normal's CapWiz page where you can just put in your zip code and have it fired off right to your state representative there in Oklahoma if you want to get involved. Garrett Overstreet here. We're speaking with him. He's the executive director of Tulsa Normal. What's your website? Is there an underscore? I always forget.
It's TulsaNormal.org.
Okay, TulsaNormal.org should have some information on that as well. And we've also spoken with Garrett many times in the past. He's a hardworking activist. He's done a lot of website design for many of our Normal chapters. And how are things going with the Normal chapters in Oklahoma? Are you getting a lot of response from people getting excited about this bill?
You know, I'll tell you, I've been out and about with these past couple of months with elections and everything out in California and D.C. and everywhere. And it seems like I'm getting a whole lot of support even from those areas, and it's helping draw a whole different type of crowd in. A lot more people are hearing about things moving here out in the Midwest and in the South, and it's actually, like I say, starting to pick up here in Tulsa especially. Now I know that even the Oklahoma Normal chapter has definitely started to start getting things moving again. And again, last time I was on the show, I called it when we were at Prop 19's headquarters. I thought that we lost our State Question 750, which allowed us ballot access. It changed the ballot access a little bit easier, so now it's based off of every 4 years rather than every 2 years. So we have a little bit better chance of possibly getting on the ballot in the event that we decide to run any sort of initiative campaign here in the future. So there's definitely a lot of things changing here in Oklahoma, which is extremely surprising. So
yeah, that's fantastic. So is that the statewide requirement that says you have to get X number of signatures based on how many people voted in the last election? Is that what you're talking about?
Correct. Yeah, the percentages are based off of every two. Right now, currently, it was supposed to be based off of every 2 years, and now it will be based off of every 4 years. So with the population increasing, obviously, we'll get a better chance at hopefully getting enough, you know. Enough supporters.
Okay, so I get you there. By having it be 4 years, if you're running your initiative in the third year, you're still getting the signatures based off the population 3 years ago.
Correct.
Okay, so yeah, that I can see how that would be helpful, especially. And now, are you experiencing a lot of growth there in Oklahoma? Is the population rising that quickly where that makes such a difference?
It's not a huge jump, but, obviously 50,000, 100,000 people here and there is going to make a big difference
sure.
when it comes to any type of campaign. So.
Yeah, every little bit helps, that's for sure. As we go forward with this bill that's being proposed for medical marijuana in Oklahoma, has there been any media coverage of this? And if so, do you interpret it as being positive, negative, or well-reported and neutral?
I would imagine it's going to be one of those under the rug kind of just unheard things. But hopefully, like I say, it came to a surprise yesterday. So I'm going to obviously be working and hopefully I'm going to be writing up a press release and trying to get some news coverage, try to get the media behind it and try to get some more people hearing about it. Because right now, as it stands, you know, there's just not a lot of people that know a whole lot about Normal and a whole about a law reform here in Oklahoma. So we're definitely still working to get that change. So.
Oh, excellent. What kind of ideas – you have ideas for the summer as far as events or seminars or presentations?
Well, we're looking to put together an event hopefully in the we were shooting for March or April. Now with the Normal conference coming up, that's going to be kind of a conflict. But we definitely have a few things in mind for this summer. So we'll kind of keep everyone posted and updated on TulsaNormal.org about any upcoming events, as well as with Facebook and MySpace.
All right. And as we look at the community there, I mean, you're organizing with Normal, you're getting people to come out. Is there a lot of awareness among the medical marijuana patients in the state of Oklahoma? Do people know this is available to them? Are you going to have a lot of grassroots support like for this, like we see in other states that have, you know, 70, 80% support among the public?
Well, I don't think that we're going to have the exact same kind of support that you'd see out in anywhere on the East Coast or the West Coast. But there are definitely a lot of other advocacy groups here in Oklahoma outside of Normal, and I believe there's even Students for Sensible Drug Policy chapters starting up. There's a whole bunch of different groups starting, so it's just a matter of time that, you know, we can amount all this energy between the patients and all the patients' advocacy groups, and as well as, you know, Normal and FSDP to try to, you know, get things working and hopefully get those types of members up in the 60 and 70% area. But currently, I don't think that we have that type of support quite yet. So it's just a matter of, you know, getting everyone out, you know, out in the fields and everyone who does support it to remove the apathy and actually get out and do something about it.
Would you call it apathy and ignorance in Oklahoma about medical marijuana, or do they have awareness of it in other states and perhaps that turns them off to it, like perhaps what we saw in South Dakota this year?
Well, you know, it's just kind of a fear that, you know, a lot of people are saying, you know, the one of the biggest arguments is, I've never been arrested, so what does it matter to me? Mm. And really, it's just here, not enough people know about the activism that happens out in these other states. And they'll see all the movement, they'll see the benefits of places like up in Oregon. And as much as I try to bring that back and show everyone all the benefits, you know, how things can actually be, there's still that mind state that nothing can happen here in Oklahoma. We're going to be the last state ever to legalize it. And if we think that, then obviously we're going to be that. It's just a matter of getting people out there and getting, you know, people come into the meetings and getting people to go out to all these events and try to, you know, show a little more support. Especially, you know, there's a few other states, you know, surrounding. I know Idaho has some things going through, and Missouri is going to be shooting again this year. So there's just a whole lot of movement out here in the Midwest and the South that definitely needs, you know, some increase. But it's just, you know, a lot of people are afraid of getting their names on some sort of list. So.
Right, right. Well, we saw a bill being proposed in Indiana too. So, you know, reform's happening everywhere. It's, you know, everybody's seeming to be talking
right
about this. Now, demographically, and correct me if I'm wrong about this, but demographically, I think Oklahoma has the highest representation of Native Americans in its population. I think I'm right on that. Is there anything about the medical marijuana movement that the Native American community have weighed in on, either pro or for or against? And is that, you know, a big significant block of voters that we need to be educating?
I was doing some number crunching the other day, and it come to find out that, you know, just kind of like in every other state that, you know, the white population typically makes up the largest amount of voters. However, whenever it comes to the Native American population, so few are actually even arrested just because of, you know, I'm not entirely certain about all the Justice Department stuff here, but it seems to me that they're primarily targeting the black population here in Oklahoma, where the black population makes up less than 12%, yet they make up over, they end up finding more black men every year than they do white women. And white women, of course, make up 35% of the population. So there's definitely some racism here.
Yeah.
But when it comes to the, you know, a lot of these other smaller groups, it's even if you added up all the numbers, you still have to, you know, take into consideration everything else in all the other groups. So there's just not enough, you know, voters, and there's not enough supporters behind it, and the in the Native American demographics right at the moment.
Yeah, and you know, a part of this may be a law enforcement issue where on tribal lands they might be subject to tribal police and tribal laws, and
right.
maybe we don't see that turning up in the statistics. I do know that among Native American right. populations, especially reservation populations, alcoholism is way out of control. I'm just thinking, you know, if we could get more medical marijuana and less alcoholism, it couldn't be a bad thing. We got to round things up here. So Garrett Overstreet is the executive director of Tulsa Normal. You can check him out at tulsanormal.org. And thanks so much for joining us here on Normal Show Live.
Thank you, Russ. I appreciate it.
76% of Americans no longer support arresting and jailing marijuana smokers. And nearly as many support the medical patients having access to medical marijuana. And over 80% of our citizens now believe the war on drugs is an ineffective failure. So the question is, when will the government's misguided war on adult marijuana smokers finally end? When? Simple. When you and your like-minded friends, family, and co-workers get involved with an organization such as the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws, also known as NORML. My name is Keith Stropp, and I founded the organization in 1970. Contact us at NORML, toll-free, 888-67-NORML, or by visiting the organization's up-to-date webpage at www.normal.org.
Legalize marijuana? Prove it. Join NORML today at NORML.org, and your donation will help us spread the growing truth about cannabis. Free speech ain't free, you know.
Free the ganja tree, it's the healing of the nation. Free the Cali weed, good for meditation. Free the pot smokers, they're in a delight. Lighting up the chalice, they keep no mollies.
The healing marijuana.
Come on, come on, come on, say.
Free the marijuana.
Hear me say.
Free the marijuana.
Yar, the army pirates here.
The Pirate King.
You know why we pirates love the NORML show? Because it's always smoking, matey.
This is NORML Show Live.
Georgia.
Hi, this is Willie Nelson, and I need your help. Alcohol prohibition didn't work in the 20s, and marijuana prohibition isn't working today. It's time we stop arresting law-abiding citizens because they prefer marijuana over alcohol. Nearly 2,000 Americans are arrested every day on marijuana charges. We're unfairly destroying the lives and careers of hundreds of thousands of people each year simply because they smoke marijuana. These are not criminals. They're average citizens like you, good neighbors who work hard, raise families, pay taxes, and contribute to their communities. We need your help to end marijuana prohibition once and for all. It's the fair thing to do.
For more information, contact NORML, the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws. Call toll-free 888-67-NORML or visit their website at NORML.org.
You want answers?
I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore.
You want answers?
You have offended my family.
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth.
And you have offended a Shaolin temple.
You can't handle the truth.
Surely you can't be serious.
I am serious. And don't call me Shirley.
Radical rant.
Well, if you've been reading the internet or the newspapers or catching any of the local news shows, you may have heard this story about the medical soda pot. Somebody came up with a way of infusing your regular favorite carbonated beverage with the THC goodness of medical marijuana. And it's being sold in dispensaries in, I believe California was the story, maybe it was Colorado, doesn't matter. They're selling medical soda pot. And I saw this pop up in my Google News alerts because I'm subscribed to every marijuana story that comes across the wires. And I thought, oh, you know, medical soda pot, you know, it's like what they had with the medical candy bars, you know, no big deal. And then the next day, I saw more and more of this popping up, and it just spread like wildfire across all of media and all of the internets out there. And someone in our chat room was even wondering, you know, what's the big deal? Why is everybody making such a big deal about the medical soda pot? And the reason why, folks, the reason why the media makes such a big deal about this, and the reason why it spreads like wildfire and becomes very viral, is because it illustrates perfectly a meme that our opponents are, in my opinion, successfully using against the medical marijuana movement, and that it's not medical. It's all about getting high. When you use the word medical, you end up putting yourself in a frame where in people's minds, they think lab coats and doctors and prescription medications with very specific potencies and dosages. And that there's nothing joyful or wonderful about medicine. It's something you have to take because there's something wrong with you. There's something wrong with you that has to be fixed. You have to take the medicine. It's not meant to be an unpleasant experience, but it's not necessarily meant to be a pleasant experience. And then once you are no longer in need of the medicine, you don't take it. So in that frame, when we got the doctors and the lab coats and the stethoscopes and the prescription pads and all that, in that frame, you're now asking the most of the general public to accept medicine being dispensed as soda pop or as candy or as brownies or as lollipops or whatever. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm all for marijuana-infused beverages and marijuana-infused edibles. In fact, logically speaking, as far as using marijuana as a medicine, for those that don't need the instant effect of vaporization or smoking, it's much more logical to use medications that are in edibles. So, no, don't preach to me about, you know, it really is medical, Russ. It really is medical. Yeah, I know it is medical. We're not arguing or discussing the science or the medicine of it. We're discussing the framing of it and why does it go across the internet so fast when we have a story like medical soda pot. It's the whole framing issue here, and I don't know that there's really anything we can do about it. We have a situation where California and Colorado are so far ahead of the curve in the marketing, distribution, creation of these medicated edible products, and so much of the rest of America still believes that it's the demon weed that leads straight to heroin and that people are just using it to get high, and there's not really a medical benefit from it. It just makes people feel better. This is believed even by people who support medical marijuana. So we confront them with, you know, Butterfingers and, you know, candy bars that are laced with cannabis, and we confront them with soda pop, and that immediately trips that medical frame from it. It puts them in a state of cognitive dissonance where they cannot believe you, that you've lost credibility to them. This also trips another frame for people, and that is things like soda pop and candy being recreational, being fun, being treats. Not good, hearty, you know, nutritional food, but treats. And treats also leads us to children. And that was the big scare when the whole medicated candy bars came out, is that, oh my God, kids are going to think this is a candy bar. They're going to eat it and they'll get some cannabis in their system. Well, this is a legitimate concern for many, many parents out there that are supportive of medical marijuana and maybe even supportive of legalization, but they don't want their kid being offered candy bars with pot in them. They don't want their kids smoking marijuana before they become of legal adult age. So those of us here on this side, those of us here in the choir, we need to understand these concerns of parents and educators and law enforcement out there. We need to understand that we're still in the minority. We're right, but we're still in the minority, and we have to approach things that way. We have to be careful about how we market ourselves and how we put ourselves out there. And with a medicated soda pot, that makes our jobs just a little bit harder. But again, what can we do about it? Well, I think what we have to start doing about it is rebranding some of the ideas behind medical marijuana. I've always said that putting marijuana in the medical box is a box that's too small. Yes, marijuana is amazing medicine. We all know it. But it is also a recreational relaxant. It is also an over-the-counter medication. It's the kind of medication that can help someone who's got cancer, who's at death's door, who has uncontrollable seizures or spasms, very, very serious conditions. But it can also help you if you got a headache. It can also help you if you're having trouble going to sleep. It's that versatile a product that putting it in the slim category of dangerous, deadly prescription medicines like we have now is a disservice to it. So How do we go about reframing and rebranding this issue of medibles, soda pot, candy bars, and so on? Well, for one thing, we need to correct the media. We need to correct the newspapers when they start using headlines like medical soda pot and make them, you know, own up to the fact that it's just a medical beverage. Right. We can start that way. We can start by, you know, confronting them on the slang terms that they use. We use them here because we're all pals here. Right. We know what we're talking about. But going forth out there, we need to be a little bit more careful. And then also to expand the definition of marijuana through our continued attempts to try to legalize and continue to show people that it is so safe and effective, so versatile for so many conditions, that we are restricting it too much. You know, this is, we always see these plant limits and possession limits that we find in medical marijuana laws, and we're limit. And we need to show how limitations are doing a disservice to what they want and what we want. Naturally, we want to have better access to medicine, to be able to get it, you know, when we need it and whatever, however much we need. And those limitations are stymieing us from doing that. But also we need to point out to law enforcement, we need to point out to these teachers and parents and such, that limiting the medical marijuana patients only serves to increase the customers for the underground market. If people were really worried about drug dealers and all of that, the first thing they would do is legalize. You know, back in 2007, Forbes came out with its list of the richest people on earth. You know, it's like the Bill Gates, Warren Buffett, you know, Sheikh Saudi bin Al Talal, whatever. You know, all these multi-billionaires are on the list. And for the first time in the top 100, a drug trafficker showed up in the list. El Chapo Guzman out of Mexico showed up on the Forbes richest list. And in his, you know, when he was notified, yeah, you're on the Forbes, you know, richest people's list, he actually came out and thanked the United States government for not legalizing drugs, for continuing the war on drugs. He said he never could have gotten where he is on this list without the prohibitionary war on drugs. So what we need to do here is to point out that we're making those guys rich with the medical marijuana laws, with the decriminalization, with the limited steps we take. In a sense, it's kind of like we're trying to show them that taking the baby steps is worse than actually going forth and doing the full legalization. Now, that's not to say that those of us working on these issues don't continue to take the baby steps. Of course we do. But we also need to show that those baby steps are just on the way to a larger goal. The larger goal of the end of adult marijuana prohibition, the end of scheduling of marijuana. You know, I hear people talking about rescheduling marijuana to Schedule 2 or Schedule 3. Well, you can still go to prison for a long time for having a Schedule 2 or Schedule 3 drug without a prescription. I Dr. Todd Micaria once said, the late Dr. Todd, said that marijuana ought to be classified like aspirin. It ought to be over the counter. It ought to be something that you don't even need a doctor's prescription for, a doctor's recommendation for, because it is so safe, so non-toxic, so incapable of overdose, and so useful for such a variety of ailments that it should just be open for all people to use. And that brings us back to the medical soda pot. If we do agree that marijuana should be over the counter, should be available for all people, then these entrepreneurs going forth with medicated beverages, medicated edibles, are to be commended. It's something that we are going to see. I guess the one thing that we could do is to ask them to market it a little bit differently. Ask them that, yes, create the soda pops, create the candy bars, maybe label them, maybe design them so that they're, you know, indicated that they should be for adults. Make sure that we're clear about the labeling on these things, that they're not for children. Make sure that we keep them well controlled in the dispensaries where they're sold, and we indicate that they're not for the use of children. I think that's the best we can ask for, because once again, law of supply and demand is in effect here. People want medicated beverages. Somebody's going to make medicated beverages. All right, folks, thanks for joining us for Normal Show Live. We are the voice of the marijuana nation, and stay tuned on the rest of this week. We got some great shows coming up. On tomorrow's show, Dr. Mitch Earlywine joins us, as he does every Wednesday, for our cannabis science. He's going to add questions and answers from our audience, live chat, or call in. We'll also be joined by Eric Williams, who's an activist in Connecticut, helping us form a new state chapter in the state of Connecticut. So you get a double shot on Wednesday. On Thursday, we've got your law enforcement against prohibition. And on Friday, Danny Danko will be here answering your cultivation questions in Cultivator's Corner. For Cannabis Carrie and Ganja John, I'm Radical Russ for the Normal Foundation. Thanks for joining us. We'll see you tomorrow. And until next time, take care of each other, tokers.
This is Normal Show Live, the voice of the marijuana nation.
Take it out one more time. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you try it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you try it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you try it, you roll it, you smoke it, and it goes down smooth.